All right, if you have your handouts, we'll start here with and continue with our study. And tonight we'll be in the book of 2 Timothy, and we'll continue with part two of A Vessel of Honor. And last week we looked at the type of vessels, and then tonight we'll cover point two and maybe point three as we have time. A vessel of honor. As I mentioned last week, we looked at the type of vessel in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And we'll begin reading in verse number 14. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of good standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the Lord name Christ, knoweth the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and of some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's house, and prepared unto every good work. And then, as we mentioned last week, we talked about the type of vessels. So number one and number two tonight, the test of vessels. The test of vessels. First of all, I want you to notice that Christ knows those that are his. And our text is, you have there, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But also in reference to the test of knowing, Christ knows who are his, but also there in 2 Corinthians 13, 5, believers know that they are Christ. Sometimes I wonder when people doubt their salvation or someone comes forward into service and felt like, you know I made a decision. I came forward. Somebody prayed with me. But in my heart, I know that I didn't make a decision. You know, I think those that even have come to church, those that have been around, those who come to church, maybe even been baptized, singing the choir, they're in church. But they know somewhere along the way when they get under conviction, they know they've only been pretending. And they have never truly repented. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves. How that Christ Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobates. So here we see the test of knowing. And then letter B, the test of growing. And by the way, before we go on real quick, I'm so glad that I know I'm his. And I know that he knows I am his. Letter B, the test of growing. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Let me ask before we go on. How are you growing spiritually? I wrote a tract several years ago. We're on the mission field, simply called The Milk of the Word for New Believers. And I'd seen some folks that wrote one talking about bread for believers, but I took this verse and built on that. But we know, and we need to ask ourselves, I look out when I'm preaching. We come in fellowship, we look out and we see a shell. But you know your heart. Just like you know if you're saved, that you know that you know that you know, you should know the tests of growing, whether you are growing in the Lord. How, not only how is your faith, how is your knowledge of the Word of God this year, at the end of the year, compared to January 1? Or compared to the previous year? Or compared to the day you got saved? I realize sometimes we do forget, and sometimes as I get older, I wonder, is this really new? Am I seeing this today? Or did I know and I just forgot that I knew? You ever feel that way? But either way, I get excited about it. You know, sometimes it's, maybe it's a good thing once in a while to forget that I knew and learn it again and get all excited. I like being excited. But as we look at this, the test of knowing, the test of growing, but also, you know, we should know if we're growing. And that's a self-examination. And then letter C, the test of showing. And this showing part gives a little evidence of our, not only of our salvation, but of our growth. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that ye may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, we can turn all the lights off in this room. It may not be as dark as maybe I'd want to use an illustration, so let's do it this way. Let's all close our eyes. All right, quick illustration, we'll move on. Don't worry, I'm not going to come up and grab your wallet. Everybody close your eyes. You know, we see the darkness. It's dark. And now open your eyes real quick and you see the light. Now, we may not be that quick and that bright, but our testimony and our walk should be so fresh that the lost world notices it that much. That they recognize there's something different about us. Let your light so shine before men. You know, I'm getting over the age the other day. I was bending over to read the tire pressure on my tire. I stopped over here at Costco to put some air in the tire. And I couldn't remember the pounds. I couldn't see it. It was broad daylight. So I got down again with my flashlight, my good old smartphone. Another good use. Swipe down, hit the flashlight, bent over again, tried it. Still couldn't quite make it out. So I took a picture and picked it up and could see it real easily. Well, I'm getting more uses out of that smartphone every day as I get older. But the point I'm trying to make is, sometimes as we grow older, we don't always see as well. We need glass, we need other things. But there are some things about our life that should shine so brightly that people can always see and recognize. They might not see it right away. They might have to get to know you a little bit. But in knowing you, they realize that your light is shining before men. Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But you know, in the test of showing, there's a problem that we'll look at under this as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But no, the problem we have is there are some carnal Christians. Carnal Christian tends to stiff arm and push the non-believer to seeking a little further away from heaven and closer to hell. And we need to be real careful that we're not carnal. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Can you imagine a preacher getting up and preaching and saying, well, folks, I'm just going to tell you how it is now. You're a carnal bunch, and I got something for you. That may not fly today, but I was growing up in the time of preaching. We heard, we got stuff like that, the old country preacher. Now, we don't have sections in our church where the carnal and the spiritual and the more spiritual and the haughty and the others, haughty, H-A-U-G-H-T-Y, of that nature. We don't have that roped off in our congregation. But carnal Christians really do damage to the church as well as the community and reaching others for Christ. So let me read that again. But as unto carnal, Paul is saying, even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hereto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Now he's saying this, look, how long are you going to be on the milk? You're still not coming along. You're not ready for the meat and potatoes of the Word of God. I'm still carrying you. And he's letting them know. He said, look, you got to grow. You can't just be spoon-fed all the time. Tonight was we had that big old lasagna. I went over with Thea and Jovi and cut it up for them because they wanted a spoon. Because they stuck that fork in that lasagna and the whole thing come up. You know, so I cut it up and I said, Jovi, you want a spoon? She goes, yes. Yeah, I want one too. And boy, I cut that lasagna up and boy, they were ready to go. The sad part about it is there's too many Christians today that are still needing a spoon and they don't have the knife and the fork in getting into the Word of God. And you know, you can't expect to come to church and for me to feed you, force feed you, or throw it at you and see what sticks. But there's other days of the week where we should be looking and reading in the Word for self, for our embetterment, so we might learn or research the questions. You know, study the Word of God doesn't have to be just reading the Bible through. It could be a topic. It could be something you have questions on. Man, the computer, you know, some of these search machines that you could use and some good references, you can find things. A good strong concordance, you can find out how many times that word is used throughout the Bible and why the different forms are there. And you don't have to be in a hurry. That's digging and getting into the Word. Verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Boy, Paul's just letting them, hey, come on, you're still carnal. You need to be moving along. You need to be coming along. And I want to encourage you in that area. The test of showing is either our light is shining or we're walking around in darkness and our reflection, our testimony is reflecting the same thing. He was speaking to Christians, not to unbelievers. They were carnal. So let's make sure that we're growing. Paul calls them babes in Christ. Now, I can't stand up here and look and pick out who's carnal because you still got your thumb in your mouth. But after a while, people begin to pick up on the carnality of another Christian because of their conversation, the things that they talk about or don't want to talk about or avoid. See, they should have been long past this point in their Christian life. But yet Paul lovingly wrote and told them how it was. And I'm grateful for a preacher growing up myself that would tell me how it is. And I hope that I never shun things fearful that I might hurt people or make people get mad. I want to give the truth. They are, again, talking about these people. Paul was right now. They certainly were not demonstrating themselves to be vessels of honor. Number three. Not only do we see the type of vessels, the test of vessels, number three, the tasks of vessels. The task of vessels. Letter A, study the right word. Study the right word. Letter B, shun the wrong word. And what I'm getting at here is we'll talk a little more about teachings. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly, that key there, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is a pastoral epistle that Paul is writing here to young Timothy, the senior pastor there at the church of Ephesus. However, there are truths for all of us even today. 2 Timothy, back in our text again, we just read 15. Look at 16 and 18 again. But shun them. This is some tasks, sometimes very hard. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Now let me say something. For those Christians who like to say and tell the preacher, well, you ought not to be calling out people. Paul sure did. You ought not to be calling about false religions. You ought not to be talking about some of those things. So those of you that were not able to make it, I know work schedules interfere, but we had some very interesting conversations this past Tuesday in reference to the doctrinal beliefs of some other churches that were false. And here Paul points it out. He's saying, hey, these guys are erred and wrong. The word shun here means to turn oneself around to avoid something. To turn oneself around to avoid something. It says there in verse 16, but shun profane and babblings. And they're teaching those profane babblings over here. Well, I'm going to do about face and I'm walking away. Don't want to have any part. Don't want to be around. Don't want to be accused of being with that group. Again, the word shun means to turn oneself around to avoid something. If you remember some weeks ago, I warned you, be careful about the teachings of Les Feldick. It's dangerous. He doesn't teach the whole counsel of God. He takes portions out and emphasizes more the writings of Paul than he does the Lord Jesus. And I'm telling you, it's out there. He's dead now. And I'm not going to presume to know where he's at, up or down. I don't know. But some of his teachings were very dangerous. But there's a lot of people that will follow in those teachings. In fact, I hate to say it, but there's been some people that come in and out of our church that did. Keep away from godless chatter and discussion. Just avoid it. So much talk, as we refer back to the scripture, is profane. In other words, it's common, irreverent, and godless talk. But shun profane babblings. Again, that profane, common, irreverent, and godless talk. And then he says, so such is vain, and we refers to not only the profane, but the vain, as referring to empty and meaningless. Just empty and meaningless. Also, so much talk is babbling, he says. Nothing more than empty voices chattering away in empty and godless discussions. I learned a long time ago, because I'm older now, I can say that. I couldn't say that in my 30s. But I learned real quick, sometimes you're wasting a lot of time if you're arguing somebody to try to convince them otherwise. If they're not ready, I mean, first of all, nobody can get saved until they realize that they're lost. And they're making every excuse in the world about how good they are. We're wasting time after presenting what the Word says to try to go on and on. If they don't see that they're a sinner and they don't see they've done things wrong within the first 5 or 6 minutes, I think anything beyond that, I don't know if you're going to change their mind or not, other than planting the Word of God, letting them know what the Bible says, showing them that. And after that, there's always somebody else. There's always another opportunity. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Again, the scripture there in our text or in our outline, verse 18 through 20. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare, holding faith in a good conscience, which some having put away concerning their faith made shipwreck. Of whom is Hymenaeus, and here we are mentioning again, Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Here we see Hymenaeus mentioned once again. So again, this aspect of the task of the vessels, not the study the right word, shun the wrong word, but let's remember and be careful. Now, there's a fine line there. I don't think we should shun our family, but there's also a fine line that we're really careful with. Let's be careful that we're not inviting in and bringing in those that have problems. I've got family that are welcome in my home, but some of them also know there's rules in my home. You're welcome, but these things you're going to leave outside. They're not going to come in. And I will love them where they're at, and I will still present the truth, and I will never, never apologize for what I believe. I will never, never apologize for telling them, if you don't look to the Lord, you're going to go to hell. I'll never apologize. They may be offended by it, but they will be offended. I do not want to stand before the Lord, and have never told a family member about their need for Christ because I didn't want to offend them. That goes for anybody, family member or not. But I think we need to be careful about shunning those, even Christians, when they fall in that error of false doctrine. One thing you won't have to worry about it. When I know about it, I'm going to handle it. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to go to them. I'm going to speak to them. Of course, I'll also be speaking with the deacons, maybe have one or more of them with me when I do. But I'm going to do my best because I'm the shepherd. I'm the sheepdog. I'm responsible to protect you. And if you know, please let me know so that we can handle it biblically in the right way. It's not only study the right word, shun the wrong word. Letter C, flee. Flee. F-L-E-E, not E-A. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust. Sometimes you just got to get out quick. Sometimes you just need to get away. Spurgeon said, in contending with certain sins, there remains no mode of victory but by flight. Sometimes the best way to get away from something is just get out as quick as you can that you're not pulled in. Because sin does abound in our community. And I have walked in sores and turned around and walked out. And said, I'll drive up the road or go to the next place. Spurgeon also said, the wings of a dove may be more use to me today than the jaws of a lion. We need to be, sometimes, if we're not careful, the devil will eat us up if we stick around. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 23, in reference to flee, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Then next, letter D, follow. Follow. 2 Timothy 2:22, the second portion. But follow, and these the key words here, righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Let's look back at these words. But follow righteousness. Righteousness reveals itself manward. Okay? Excuse me. Yeah, itself manward. It is simply doing right. People know when you're fake. People know when it's real. That aspect of righteousness reveals itself manward. In other words, by man. And then we see that word there, faith. Faith is Godward. Faith is Godward. It has to do with my trust in God, His word, His ways. Our faith is strictly dependent upon our faith in him. And then we see that word charity. I was going to put all this in their outline, but I ran out of room unless I went to font 8. And I know I'd make a bunch of people mad if I did that. Charity. Charity is, as we said, righteousness is manward, faith is Godward, but charity is outward. See, it reaches out in similarity as God reached out from heaven to a lost world. Charity reaches out. How charitable are we in reaching out and ministering unto others? And then that third, next word, fourth word there in 2 Timothy, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace. This aspect of follow, we see peace. Peace is inward. It means that the war is over. We've surrendered and God reigns supreme. That peace, we can understand a peace that passeth all understanding. And right now with our prayer list, there's some ladies on our list. Okay, Sam's neighbor, Crystal friend's Angel, her friend Angel and their mom. Right now they're facing some anxiety and distraught because of the loss of a loved one or an expected loss of a loved one. We have others in here on a prayer list, Brother Dave's mother and her friend. Right now they're going through that aspect of struggling because of that inner peace has been disrupted. And that's why it's inward. But we have an opportunity in ministering of trying to come alongside of them and helping them out, encouraging them, if nothing else, saying, you know, I don't understand, but I do know something I can do. I can pray. I can pray and ask God to give you peace, to comfort and encourage you during this difficult time. See, there are two types of vessels, those of honor and those of dishonor here in our text. The choice is really up to you and I. We make the choice individually as well as collectively. Are we as a church going to be a church and a church body of honor, of vessels of honor, or are we just going to settle for mediocrity or dishonor? And that, of course, is separately that vessel of dishonor or honor. See, God has given us the necessary resources that we need to be a clean vessel fit for his use. He's provided everything that we need. We have seen the types of vessels, the test of vessels, and the task of vessels. So what type of vessel are you? God has given us everything we need. It's like a recipe. We were out last night. We took the grandkids and daughters and grandsons. A whole group of us drove over last night to Enchantment Christmas, Enchanted Christmas. And I got out of it. Is watching some kids smiling, having fun, and I ate from two different vendors. So that's what I got out of the trip. But while we were there, Michelle said, on the way back, if we're going to have lasagna, we need to stop and pick up some cheese. And she went through her mind, think of what she needs. She called Kayla and Rebecca that was in the other vehicle. We could all couldn't fit in one. We took one vehicle. So what else do we need? Oh, we need some milk, Mom. We're about low on milk. So they went through some things to bake a lasagna for breakfast the next morning was missing. We stopped by the store, picked all those things up, and made our way home. Everything that we needed was on the list. We were fortunate enough to have everything we needed to find in one store and make our way home. And as we look through the Word of God that God has given us, he's given us the recipe. He's given us the list that we need. All we got to do is reach out, grasp it, and say, Lord, help me to use the tools that you have given me that I might be a vessel of honor. He's equipped us, and he's helped us, and the list is there. We just have to follow it. I'm so glad that Michelle followed that recipe to the T today, that we had such a wonderful meal of lasagna and those good old cheddar biscuits to go along with it. But she followed the recipe. She left out the yeast in those biscuits. They wouldn't have been the same. She left out the cheese in them, the garlic. They wouldn't have been the same. If she left out the ricotta cheese or the cheese for lasagna, it would have been different. I still would have ate it. But it would have been different. And if we're not careful, we'll start leaving things out that God has equipped us with that we might be effective. And we'll find ourselves not being as effective. And then before long, we've tried to start doing it in our own will, our own strength, in our own way. And that turns us into a vessel of dishonor, of working in the flesh. God has equipped us. We just have to make the decision. What type of vessel am I? And do I pass the test? Am I willing here in this area of vessels of doing the right thing and making the hard decisions? And sometimes the hardest thing to do is to shun. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to be at arm's distance. I'll say this, we'll have a word of prayer when we dismiss. I'm sure you'll understand. Hope you won't think differently of me. I love my family. But through the years growing up, there were some family members that we wouldn't leave our children with overnight. I love them, but, you know, I just wouldn't do it. I learned the hard way, and I'll end with a humorous story, and then we'll have a word of prayer. My family stayed a night with a family member for a few nights. Michelle knows where I'm going. And we came back, and we were so thankful for that family member helping out. But we learned a lesson about some of our convictions and some of our choices, and some of our preferences are quite different. The next time we were in church, we went through the back door after our kids being away from us for 4 days or a little bit longer, and our son is walking around the auditorium out loud, singing as loud as he could, "Pretty Woman." I wonder where he heard that song from. Wasn't in my house, wasn't in my car, but he was, because he got exposed, he heard, and it was embarrassing, but it wasn't damaging. The very first church we were in as new missionaries. We had just got pinned the week before. But you know what? Things happen. And that's why it's important that lovingly when we need to, and sometimes it's just at arm's length and just being protective of our kids. But let's make sure above all things that we're vessels of honor for his use and allow him to equip us. He's already provided the recipe. All we got to do is gather the list and use them. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness, your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy of fellowship, the joy of the word of God. Father, help us to strive individually as well as collectively to be the vessels of honor that you would have us to be. Father, we have a wonderful group here at Harvest Baptist Church, and collectively and individually, but individually we take all of our tools, all of our talents, things that we have, we come together collectively as a church. We have so much at our access to be used in reaching others and ministering to others. Father, help us to minister where we can, and we know where we can't or we're failing that we can always look at another brother or another sister to come alongside of us and helping us to minister to someone else. But Father, help us to be prepared to minister to others, especially not just one another, but also those outside of the doors of the church that need to be brought inside, that we might effectively reach them for Christ. Father, again, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, amen. As always, God.